Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you here. But here's what I've learned about myself over the years. I have a high-functioning brain.
You seem to know all the players in this poorly acted farce. What do they call that one?
Jeff Lutz.
Goodness gracious, you're really struggling today. If I had said that, I mean, I'd be kicked off the show permanently.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a Thursday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. I'm Bob Lutz. Jeff Lutz with me today. Max Power, producing engineering, 869-1240. We've had a full allotment of shows this week for the first time in a while due to Royals afternoon games. How you holding up?
I don't know. A little slippage yesterday. By you or?
Nah, a little by you.
I was awesome yesterday. I don't know what you're talking about.
It is a little different. We're back here tomorrow.
Crazy. He's got to get one day off, right?
Right and early. Now, no show next Wednesday. But then after that, it's a...
August 14th.
All bets are off.
August 13th.
I don't know. August 14th. Fewer and fewer day games for the Royals.
It's move-in day. I got to see about some stuff on August 14th.
Why? What? That's the day the Aaron heads up to K-State?
Yeah.
What are you checking?
Just checking some stuff.
Like what? The date?
The day of the week and stuff. Just don't worry about
Wednesday.
It.
Wednesday. What are you checking?
Don't worry about what I'm checking.
Are you going to be up there?
Of course I'm going to be up there. What are you talking about?
Well, don't get angry.
What kind of ridiculous question is that?
I didn't know if you could get off work.
Of course. I've had that day off for a while.
Well, are we invited?
No.
Really? The grandparents aren't invited.
I have no idea what the situation. You want to come?
Well, I don't know about that. I just wondered if we were invited.
But do you want to come? I kind of want you to, but it's for a reason I'll have to discuss with you off the air.
No, I want you to discuss it on the air.
No.
Yeah.
I can't.
Why?
Because I don't want to.
Is it vile?
There's a person involved who does not want grandparents there, and that doesn't come from our side. So I'd like I'd like you to show up and just see what this person does.
Well, we'll talk about it off the air.
I'd like to see this person try to remove you from the situation.
Well, what do you think would happen?
I don't think it would go well for this person.
Probably not, but hey, I'm not in the kind of fighting mode I used to be in back in the day.
Well, that's unfortunate.
You know what I mean?
Not really, but I guess.
Well, I'm almost 70 years old.
Guardians are about
to get
out again.
My hand might shatter.
I understand, but one or two might be worth it.
Maybe it would be a forearm shiver, although then my forearm would shatter.
Would shiver. It would shiver a lot.
It would shatter.
It would shiver first, though, probably.
Here's what we have for you today on the show. Another jam-packed day. Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. One of our go-to guys. He'll be on at 2:25 to talk about the Chiefs and training camp and where that's all headed and what it's looking like. At 2:45, Mark Blackham. He is the general manager and owner of the Hutchinson Monarchs. They begin play today in the NBC World Series. They are the defending champion. They knocked off Santa Barbara last year to win it. And we'll get an update from Mark Blackham. And then at 3:25, former Fort Hays State standout basketball player, Annette Wiles, will join us. She is going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame in October. Ceremonies in Topeka this year. So that's what it looks like for the show. Last night, the Royals blew one in the late innings.
That's what I saw.
Did you get yours?
Yeah, but who cares?
You're losing today, though.
Yeah, can't score. This is a team that...
Well, you're going to split the series with Detroit.
Doesn't know what it's doing. They have the best record in the American League, and they're not even good. Does that make any sense to you?
Sure, because you can look at every team and say, during a stretch of time, they're not good.
Yeah, but we're going
on. Name a team that has been good all season long?
Phillies, I would say.
No, they've been pretty poor lately.
They've been about 500.
No, they've been worse than that. They've been pretty poor lately. Now, for 3 months, they were unbelievable. But every team goes through ups and downs. Phillies right now certainly have a great record, but they're only 4-6 in their last 10 games.
I hear you, but I'm saying that their poor stretch has been close to 500 or around there. It's not up to par with what they'd been doing. The Guardian stretch is well below 500. And
well, the Phillies are a better team than the Guardians.
Who cares? We play them this weekend.
They're going to kill you.
I sure hope so. And then maybe we can just sickening.
The Phillies, you're getting them at a decent time, I suppose. 5-7, 5-8, 6-9, 8-12. They've lost 9 of their last 14 games. So they're 5-9. That's not close to 500. That's a pretty poor record over the last
2 weeks. I'm talking about a longer.
That's what I'm talking about.
Since they're like high water mark, they're basically a 500 team.
They're 5-9.
Okay.
That's a stretch of games.
It's 2 weeks.
Which they haven't played well.
And it's 2 games. If they would have won, they'd be fine.
And they're still obviously in good shape because they're a superior team, but they've had a bad spell. Just like the Guardians are going through now, and you're throwing them away.
It's not. I'm not talking about 2 weeks. I'm talking about over a month. And
you knew your team lacked offense. They were overachieving for a while.
How do you overachieve if you can?
Because every team does at times.
But how? I don't understand. If you can do it, it's not overachieving. It's just achieving. It's just being what you are.
You settle to the mean. You settle to the median, what you really are. Over 162 games, once you get to the 162, you have a very clear,
I guess,
look at what kind of team you have.
Well, I still don't consider it overachieving.
That's why they're always these teams are always trying to improve. Nobody feels comfortable. The Phillies are going to go out and make deals. They don't feel like they've got it figured out.
Well, they're going to be in the playoffs. They're trying to make moves.
Well, you're going
to
be
win
in the
World
playoffs.
Series. I don't know that the Guardians are going to be in the playoffs.
Really? It's going to get that bad?
It might.
Well, that's a fatalistic view.
Just going by what I see, some of these were promoting some young guys that have really started to struggle, some managerial decisions. Like just now, pinch hitting Daniel Schneeman, an awful decision.
I thought you liked Schneeman.
But you could have had
Wait a minute, a week ago you loved Schneeman.
You could have had Noel against.
He was on Seinfeld.
You could have had Noel against a
remember
righty.
Used
Can
to
I just talk? Good God.
Remember when he used to come to Seinfeld's
door? I don't care about Schneeman.
Schneeman! Go ahead.
It's not even close.
Go ahead.
No, I don't want to.
I love your frustration.
Well, stop talking over me.
Go ahead.
No, there's nothing to talk about now.
The moment has passed. I'm curious to hear what you had to say.
Well, it could have been John Kinsey Noel against a righty or Schneeman against a lefty.
I thought you liked Schneeman.
Good God, man. Can I talk? Schneeman can't hit lefties. Noel can hit righties occasionally. He strikes out a bunch, but he can hit. Schneeman doesn't hit lefties.
What's his average against lefties?
I don't know, but
he's hitting a robust 221.
And he just struck out.
These are the people you have. They can't bring in Rocky Colavito. I'm sorry.
They shouldn't be playing Schneeman.
Now you're making fun of him.
Yeah, he sucks.
For weeks you defended him.
He was playing well.
And now, so a guy goes bad and you're done with him.
Correct.
That's a horrible fan.
You got to be good
to be in my good graces.
No, if Jose Ramirez goes bad, it's different. If Josh Naylor goes bad, it's different. If a guy with no track record goes bad, bye-bye. Who's next?
Well, that's just a shame to hear. And Detroit's no joke.
They're kind of a joke.
Who are they pitching today?
They pitched a bullpen game.
Tim Holton?
Tyler
Holton? Gosh, you got 4 hits against Holton, Lucas, Fieto, Foley, and Chafin. That's embarrassing. No offense, but I mean,
it's
come on.
It's been an embarrassing stretch.
Bullpen games are the worst because if you don't pound them, you look ridiculous. And the Tigers are basically saying, sorry, we don't have the pitching for today.
Well, this is the second time they've done this in the series.
Come get us.
Essentially. First game and this game.
And those are the games they won, by the way.
Yeah.
They're only up 3-0 today, although we are going to the eighth.
It's
over. Good luck to you.
It was over once. You know, they gave up a 3-run homer, too?
No, I don't know.
This will make you laugh. Javi Baez.
That's first since April.
Of 2009.
No, it's first since April. Second of the year. Talk about a guy who washed out. Javi Baez, why is he still playing?
Because they owe him a ton of money.
I get it, but good grief, he's hitting 178. He has now 28 RBIs. 178. This guy was at one time, I don't know if he was a superstar, but he looked like he was on the verge of being.
Finished second in MVP voting.
He looked like he was on the verge of being a superstar.
Yeah, he was exciting. He was flashy, fun. Never was he didn't walk a lot. He wasn't a huge on-base guy, and he did strike out a lot.
There's probably
so that dragged him down a little, but he still was a decent hitter.
There's probably something to be said for the notion that sometimes when you pay a guy, he just stops caring. Or stops being – maybe stops caring is too strong, but stops
working.
He was
declining.
Stops working as hard as he did to get there.
I don't know, maybe.
Maybe he just says, you know what? And I don't think this is obviously a great character thing, but I think there are probably guys that, oh my God, I'm making $26 million. How much is he making?
I think he signed for like six for 140. Don't even quote me on that. I don't know if that's right.
Well, I mean, unless you just have, and most of these guys do have tremendous pride and will, and they're motivated to be the very best they can be. But I got to believe that every once in a while somebody gets that kind of money and just says, I'm set.
Somehow 6 for $140 was correct.
Well, good for you.
Here's a list of players who are making $20 million or more and have negative WAR this season. Would you like to guess?
No, I don't want to guess. I'm not into that.
Anthony Rendon, Blake Snell, Joe Musgrove, Nick Castellanos, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo,
you?
Two more, Jordan Montgomery and Javi Baez.
Can I stop you? Read those again, because that's an unfair indictment on some of these people.
Anthony Rendon.
Yeah, that's a fair indictment.
Blake Snell.
Unfair.
Joe Musgrove.
Unfair.
Nick Castellanos.
Borderline fair.
Chris Bryant.
Not real fair. He's been injured.
Anthony Rizzo.
Not fair. I mean, that to me, he's been injured. He's just getting old. It was a bad contract, but I don't blame Anthony Rizzo.
Jordan Montgomery.
No, unfair.
Javi Baez.
Fair.
So two guys, it was fair.
Rendon and Baez.
And sort of fair for Castellanos, whose skill set doesn't lend itself to war.
Yeah, they should have never paid him that much, first of all. He was never worth that much.
No, he wasn't.
He's a good player. When he's good. Does that make sense?
Yeah. He's been serviceable.
In that Phillies lineup, he's a good player.
Yeah. They
don't need him to do a ton.
They can afford to have him in the lineup every day.
And occasionally he'll get hot. He was just on a hot streak.
He hit a bunch of doubles when he was good. It was like a 20-25 home run guy. So, yeah, you could see the idea of wanting to pay him, but he's bad defensively. And his game has some holes in it.
He's not a great player, but he's had pretty good years. He's hitting 242 with a 707 OPS, a negative WAR guy, 14 homers. But in that lineup, you can hide Nick Castellanos. You know, you don't worry about it.
Yeah, but they're starting to hide a few guys now.
Who else they hide?
Rojas.
He's a defensive player.
I hear you. I've looked at their lineup. They have two or three. Not it's not bad. Every team has two or three guys that are OPS.
Well, but when you have Trey Turner and you have Bryce Harper and you have Alec Bohm and you have Kyle Schwarber, you got room to hide some people.
Sure.
I mean, those are all, even though Schwarber's not having the year he had last year, he's hitting for a better average, 238, which
pretty good for him.
Below 200, but he had 50 homers last year.
It's crazy. Did he get to 50? That's amazing.
Yes. Now he's got 19. So, yeah.
Weird player.
Royals, as we talked about, their bullpen blew it up last night. What's the kid's name, the closer?
Sure, Schneider. I don't know who's closing games for them.
Schreiber, you're thinking, and it's not him.
I don't know who
it's
closes.
It's the guy they've had their, all year long as their closer for the most part.
I don't know.
He came along. I mean, what? Why don't you know these things?
Because I don't know a lot of
you
stuff.
You make me look bad when you don't know things.
I don't care.
I'm seriously.
I don't care about making you look bad.
But you make it strange that I look bad. James MacArthur. How would I not remember that? He was an actor on Hawaii Five-0. Why do you outwardly moan?
Because nobody gets
show?
That reference anymore.
My fans do.
Your people aren't listening.
So 60 and over aren't listening.
They've long since abandoned us.
60 and over aren't listening anymore.
That's correct.
869-1240.
If you know how to use a phone and you're 60,
if you're 60 or over, call us right now. We got a few minutes till break. We're going to get into some guests. I'm asking for someone 60 or over to call the show and tell us why you listen. And you listen for references like I just made.
No one cares about James MacArthur from Hawaii Five-0.
That, to me, that struck a chord with me.
There was no one listening who went, oh, yeah, him. Nobody. I mean, I guess you should be proud of yourself on some level that you know who that is and have the recall to say it here on this show. But for everybody else, there's nothing much going on.
By the way, Dylan Cease has 8 no-hit innings against the Washington Nationals today.
Really?
They come to town to St. Louis tomorrow, the Nationals. So he'll no-hit them today, and he'll get 23 hits tomorrow.
Probably. That's usually how it works, right?
That's always how it works. Still 3-0 Tigers, as you can tell by Jeff's moaning.
It's pretty bad.
I love it.
Pretty bleak.
I love it. Just because of what it does to you. You give up on them.
They're not good.
And then in a week, if they go 5-2 in their next 7 games, you're back. And it's just no wonder Duda avoids you.
Duda, I'm so sick of Duda.
By the way, I texted him yesterday, and he immediately got back to me and said, yeah, I'll be there.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
He did not send more than 2 words to you.
Well,
he sent me a thumbs up. That makes me sick. And I know that's why he does it. But have some.
Are you meeting us Friday? Yeah. That's what he said. Yeah. What do you want him to say?
That's fine. But he said, what time to me? And I said, 4:30. And he sent a thumbs up. Does that mean you're coming?
Well, to me, that means, yeah, I'll be there.
That's not what that means to me.
What does it mean?
That means I'm blowing you off. I don't care. I'm not even going to take the time. You are not worth words. You are only worth a...
Do you think that's how Jason Duda feels about you?
No, I think that's how he feels about just about everyone.
No, I'm not talking about everyone. I'm talking about you.
Yes, I do.
So to you, in Jason Duda's mind, when he gets that text, it's like, I'll just...
I'm not... This guy's not even worth words.
Let me hit a thumbs up for this
guy. This guy's not even worth an actual answer to a question.
Let's get to Russ, who's holding. Russ, I presume you're 60 or over?
I would be 61, and I got your reference. Wasn't he Dano on Hawaii Five-0?
Correct.
Good job, guys.
Love that show.
Very good. Well, yeah, and it brought back a nice memory for you, didn't it?
It sure did. That's why I listened to the show. Thanks, guys.
And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here, to help people like you, Russ. Thank you.
We appreciate
the call. That's all we needed. What are you getting so angry about over there now?
Just
I hope you guys I really hope the Guardians go into a free fall.
Why did...
Because you deserve it.
Why did Bo Naylor start against a left-handed pitcher?
You're the kind of fan who... Nobody cares.
If you're going to pinch hit for him against
caring?
A left-handed pitcher in the bottom of the
eighth
inning.
You want to know something nobody cares about?
You're the one who asked about it earlier.
I'll tell you what nobody cares about, including Russ and everyone else.
I don't care about Russ.
Oh, yeah, now we're going to throw...
If Russ texted me, I'd send him a thumbs up.
Now we're going to insult Russ.
No, I love Russ, but I just don't...
What we're going to do now is take a break for this guy to try to gain some composure.
It's not going
to
happen.
His team's terrible.
Exactly.
And I hope they're terrible for many years to come.
Me too.
I do.
Me too.
You're awful. You're a terrible fan.
You don't have to deal with this garbage.
We'll be back. We'll talk with Jesse Newell from The Star. Stay with us.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Jesse Newell joins us from the Kansas City Star. We're going to talk about the Chiefs and their training camp. We also have one eye, Jesse, on Dylan Cease's bid for a no-hitter here with the Padres. He's got one out now in the ninth inning. So we'll divide our attention slightly, but you are the main event. How you doing?
Doing great, guys. How about you?
We're doing okay. We're hanging in there. Of course, this is the time where the NFL ramps up with training camp. A lot of Chiefs talk. We're going to hear a ton about this pursuit of a three-peat. It's going to carry a lot of the season for Kansas City. What kind of team do you think they have in place to pursue that? It sounds like an easy question, but how likely is it that they'll be in the mix for this?
Yeah, fortunately, unfortunately for the Chiefs, like they've made this look pretty easy the last 2 years. You know, it's not easy to win a Super Bowl. There's a lot of good teams out there, and even if you're one of the favorites, the math would tell us, the betting odds would tell us, you're never better than about 15 or 20% going into the playoffs to win this sort of thing. So, yeah, this is tougher than the Chiefs have made it look. Even last year they had all the regular season struggles and the game against the Raiders on Christmas. They really struggled, couldn't do anything offensively. We're handing the ball to the Raiders for pick sixes and touchdowns. And so, I think it's probably lower odds for the Chiefs doing this for a three-peat, but obviously, it's never been done in NFL history for a reason, which is they've got a chance to do it, and that's something, and that's you're right, Bob, that's going to be the narrative, what people are going to focus on the entire season, because there's just not been many chances where a team has actually had a chance to do this. It looks like he just completed that no-hitter.
Yes, he did.
Right? He did.
So, yeah. That's crazy for Dylan Cease. That's big-time stuff, and rare that the pitcher actually gets to stay in to be able to do this. So 111 pitches.
114 pitches, yeah. Nobody does that anymore, but they did.
114, yeah. There you go. But, for the Chiefs, kind of big picture-wise, I think what they need to focus on, and this is sort of what we heard from camp from them, is offense year to year is the most stable, and defense can kind of come and go. It's hard to keep yourself at the top. So the defense was amazing last year, but a couple injuries, and you could definitely see the Chiefs falling off a little bit defensively, but offensively is where really they've buttered their bread for so long with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. So I think the goal this year is to get back to being a number one or number two offense. And what we've seen from these receivers, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, some of the new additions they have, the potential is there to bring the deep ball back to the offense. And if that happens, then I could definitely see them getting back to that sort of level. So for them to do this and to get a three-peat, I think the offense is going to have to take a major step from what it was last year, just because I don't think you can bank on the defense being this good as it was a season ago, but I definitely think the Chiefs have the pieces to do it.
Is the best outcome for training camp for the Chiefs just to have the most boring training camp? There's not, that many position battles, it doesn't seem like. There's no holdouts that I know of. People are coming in generally healthy. There's not a ton outside of that overarching can they three-peat storylines. So is there anything like that we should be particularly looking at during this training camp?
A couple things. One thing I would say for sure is the left tackle battle. And Sam McDowell, actually, our columnist here at The Star, and he has been reading with the Eagle, obviously, as well, but he came up he did the research on this, and this was fascinating. He looked at teams that have won a Super Bowl that go the next season and start a left tackle who is a rookie, and how often that's been done. And he found the instance that it was either two or three that a left tackle that was a rookie played more than half the season for a reigning Super Bowl champ. And how many times a guy started every single game a left tackle as a rookie for a Super Bowl champ? Zero. It's never happened in history. And so, to me, that's pretty crazy because the early indications we saw in the summer when they threw Kingsley Suamataia in there at left tackle and had him run with one above Wanya Morris was they want him to win this job. You know, they want him to be the tackle of the future and stop the musical chairs that started with Orlando Brown that moved on to Donovan Smith last year. You know, there was some rumblings early on. Maybe Juwan Taylor could make the switch, and then they kind of put that to bed. But it would be nice for the Chiefs to have some security at left tackle because they really have not had that over the past few years. But we get here to training camp, and Wanya Morris has started out with the first team on every single rep. So I don't know what's going on there yet. I think we have to make something that Kingsley was with the ones sometime in the summer that they want him to win the job or they potentially have high hopes for him. But then the incumbent coming in, the second-year player Wanya Morris out of Oklahoma, being first team to start with, I think we read something into that as well. But that, to me, is a big thing. Just that left tackle spot, because the Chiefs are trying to pull off something here that really no team in the NFL has ever done. Having said all that, it helps that Patrick Mahomes, he takes fewer sacks than anybody. He has such good pocket awareness. So maybe the bar is a little bit lower there than some other teams. But, yeah, will Kingsley win that job? Will Wanya win that job? And if Kingsley does, you know, can the Chiefs pull off this kind of crazy feat of trying to not only load up at that position and have a starter for the foreseeable future, but also have a guy that can go in and try to win, you know, try to three-peat things here this year as well.
Yeah, that's extremely interesting. We're talking with Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star about the Chiefs. So my take, and I'm certainly not on the ground like you guys are, but it looks to me like Patrick Mahomes went into this camp intent on adding to his arsenal in the way he can. And he's really, in my view, again, you'll either confirm or deny this, he's really working with Xavier Worthy to make him noticeable. I know he threw the big bomb to him the other day that was all over social media. How important is that combination, the long ball threat to this young guy? How important is that to the Chiefs offense?
I mean, it's about everything. What's interesting about Xavier is if you go back a couple years ago, the Chiefs took Sky Moore in the second round. And again, this is not a fair comparison, but they took him in the second round. He missed OTAs with a hamstring injury. He missed mandatory minicamp with a hamstring injury. Then he started in training camp, tried to get reports after Mahomes. It just never really worked out. Now, he caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl. But, I mean, you kind of heard whispers Super Bowl week is like, hey, the Chiefs would have really loved to have him earlier on gain chemistry with Patrick Mahomes, okay? Fast forward to this year, Xavier Worthy, they trade up in the first round to get him at 28th overall, has a hamstring injury, misses OTAs, misses mandatory minicamp. So, again, I'm kind of flashing back, like, I remember people after the season, or towards the end of the season, saying, oh, man, it really hurt him to not build rapport with Patrick Mahomes in those early practices, and that showed up late in the season. So I kind of thought, oh, man, you know, is this going to happen with Xavier Worthy? So he goes out there on that Sunday, that first full squad practice for the Chiefs, and catches that bomb. And I want you guys to go back to the video and watch Matt Nagy at the bottom of your screen, the coordinator for the Chiefs, 46 years old. He's doing dance moves he hasn't done in like 20 years. I mean, this guy is just going bonkers because he's like, he hasn't seen a route like that be completed by the Chiefs since he got back to them last year. And so the possibility just opens up for the Chiefs to be able to go deep, have a receiver who can track it, take a correct route, and catch it. All those implications are enormous. What happened after that? Xavier Worthy's missed the last 3 days with sickness. So he hasn't been out there to get those on-field reps with Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs partly took him because of his smarts, because of his football IQ. They're teaching him all three positions, which is a big thing for their offense. It's just right now they need him on the field. They need him to be out there with Mahomes to get some of that chemistry, or otherwise it's going to look a little bit less good, to put it in simple terms, in the regular season. So I think they are just enticed by what he potentially can do, and Hollywood Brown as well, to be able to track the ball down the field, catch the ball down the field, and open up things by doing that for guys underneath like Kelce and Rasheed Rice. they just need rest between Mahomes and Xavier Worthy, and right now they're not getting enough of those. And so we'll see. The bats come on tomorrow at practice, and we'll see if Xavier Worthy can win the team again if he gets back out there. And if so, again, they're going to try to fire it to him because they need to kind of make up for some lost time.
Yeah, speaking of reps, how many receivers do you think they'll break camp with? And more particularly, who will they be? We know the top three, but it feels like guys like Watson, Tony, Hardman, Sky Moore, Justin Ross, they might be completely unique players, but they feel interchangeable to me. What could their roles potentially be? And is there anyone behind them that has maybe a little bit of a higher ceiling that the Chiefs can afford to get a look?
Yeah, this will be a fascinating one. Definitely, Jeff, and one to track during camp. So all these guys are a little bit different. And let's kind of go over them one by one just very briefly. So Justin Watson, I think he's a lock. He had a foot injury yesterday at practice. He walked off on his own power, but then got in the front seat of a cart and drove back up, waiting on an injury update from him. But like, that's the sort of thing that could open up a roster spot. I expect the Chiefs to keep receivers. They got 7 last year. That seemed like one too many. They've been on 5 in the past. So we'll see. But I would say 6 is kind of probably the magic number for this.
Jesse, always our pleasure when you come on the show. I'm sorry, did I interrupt you? Your connection is
yeah, he's still talking, but I think we have a bad connection.
Oh, am I still there?
I think he is still talking, but he disappeared.
No, he's there. Keep going, Jesse. I think we can hear you now.
I'm so sorry. I'll go real quick. Sky Moore hasn't had a great camp, but I think he's fifth. I think he's locked in, and he's an asset for the Chiefs. They got him a couple more years. Been in the system, all those sorts of things. But to the other guys, Mecole Hardman, I don't know. He's kind of redundant from Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy. So we'll see about him. A dark horse to watch, Nico Remigio. He is a guy that got out all last year after having surgery. He's a second-year player, undrafted free agent. But he's got everything right for the Chiefs. Potentially could be their kickoff returner, one of their two kickoff returners as well. So definitely watch that battle and see what happens on the back end there. But also watch to see how serious this injury is for Justin Watson. Went down with a foot injury yesterday at practice.
Well, now I'm going to tell you how much we appreciate you coming on the show as frequently as you do. Your insights are great. Thank you, Jesse. We'll catch up with you before kickoff, okay?
Sounds good. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks.
Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. I was hearing just fine. He's his connection dropped.
Right, but he was still there.
Well, I understand that. I thought he was done talking.
He was not.
Well, I thought he was because I stopped hearing him.
Right. And but you heard the in and out, and the fact that he was about to address the statuses of 5 wide receivers and had only talked about one should have been hence.
Well, I was surprised because Jesse always gives us more than a complete answer.
Right.
He's not shy about talking. So I was under the assumption that either he was done or that his signal had fallen off completely, and I was going to give him an out. And this is why I run the show.
And that was not a good decision either way.
This is why I am in charge, because...
Because you miscalculated what happens?
I got to make quick decisions over here. I'm not sitting over there...
But that was not a well-timed decision. It was not a good
decision. I don't have time
decision.
To check my phone. See how my team's doing. I got decisions. Look at this. I wish people could see Control Central here.
I don't care. Will Brennan's.
What do you mean you don't care?
Because you're not saying anything. Be real with the audience. You're sitting in front of a computer, and that's it. Just be real with our audience. There's nothing else.
What do you call this?
It's a desk.
I'm pounding my desk. What about this baby? That's a printer.
What would that be needed for on this show?
I don't know. May have to print something someday.
Probably not.
During the show. I may need to print your little letter of termination.
Oh, sweet. Let's do that now.
What are you upset with now?
A team that can't hit.
Mark Blackham joins us from the Hutchinson Monarchs. He is the general manager, owner of that team. They had a huge 2023, culminated with winning the NBC World Series, knocking off the Santa Barbara Foresters, and they've carried it over into 2024, winning the Jayhawk League regular season championship. Mark, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you guys are on a roll right now. You've got things going over there in Hutchinson. Tell us a little bit about what happened. How did you guys figure out this summer baseball thing? And what are the things you've done to make this such a viable organization?
You know, it's been 15 years of work in progress, but you know, we've built some nice relationships over the years with some different schools that continue to send us players, and my support staff in Hutch is phenomenal, clear down to the host families and the people that work for us at the stadium. And we try and do things a little bit different. You know, we've always said we're going to run a college program and try and do it like a minor league organization and make it fun for the fans while making it, you know, economical for them to get in and have a night out as well.
So how did last year's championship affect, if at all, the way you approached this summer and recruiting and things like that? And what does it feel like now? I think you guys play tonight, in fact, going into this tournament as the defending champion in a team that everyone has its eyes on.
You know, we really didn't change our recruiting at all. We stayed with the core schools that we've used over the last few years. We did get a couple players from a couple new schools, which, you know, we'll see how that relationship builds over the next few years. But not a lot has changed as far as the way we run things. We do. We have the 6 o'clock game tonight, which we're looking forward to having the big 90-year celebration. And we'll kick the tournament off at 6 o'clock tonight, and hopefully we can continue with the success that we had to end last year and then to end our regular season this summer.
Hey, you're playing TPA Texas. I don't know anything about TPA Texas, but I think they're probably in a little bit of trouble. We'll see. Followed at 8:30 tonight by Tulsa Sandlot against the Seattle Studs. So that'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. And your next game in this pool play will be at midnight Saturday night against Tulsa Sandlot. How do you feel about baseball around the clock returning and you guys getting a shot at midnight on Saturday?
You know, I'm actually excited that baseball around the clock is back. And, you know, they sent a questionnaire out, what times would you like to play? And, I mean, I told Katie I didn't care if it was midnight, 3 o'clock in the morning. It's a lot cooler then. And shoot, most of the guys are going to be up anyway, so we might as well be playing.
There you go.
So what is the organization's approach to pitching? I remember, you know, last year there were some unheralded guys, maybe guys who didn't get a ton of time with their college teams, and they all pitched really well. Obviously, you have to pitch really well to beat Santa Barbara and the other teams you beat. So what's the philosophy in pitching and kind of getting the most out of these guys?
You know, we tried to get our guys as many innings as we could this summer. Our starters, we still have a pitch count of 85 or finish the at-bat that you've got going. Very rarely do we get over 90 pitches. We try and get our bullpen guys as much work during the week as possible to help us throughout the summer, but to also get them innings, because you're right, a lot of the guys that we've had, you know, we get a lot of freshmen. They don't get a lot of time and innings at their schools, so we try and get them as many innings as we can in the summer. And, you know, the coaches send them to us because they've got ability. They just need to work on their craft and get better. So that's our number one goal, is to get them as much work as possible.
Talking with Mark Blackham, GM of the Hutch Monarchs, again in action tonight at X Stadium, 6 o'clock, the debut game of the 2024 NBC World Series. Some things as it pertains to college baseball. We've seen here in the last day or two that the scholarship limits are going to be increased, which it's about time, and increased significantly for both baseball and softball. We also know that some college coaches are wary about sending pitchers out to summer league teams. Where's all this headed? Are we, and we also know that in the most recent MLB draft, it was very heavy on college players and maybe a little lighter than normal on high school players. Where's all this headed, in your opinion?
You know, that is a great question, and I did find it interesting that this year it seemed like there was a lot less high school guys drafted, and they really stuck to the college players more than, you know, a lot in the last few years. I, too, am in agreement. I'm glad that they're increasing the scholarship levels. But the portal's a tough one. You know, these kids, they can sign, and if they don't like where they're at, they go somewhere else the next year. And that makes it difficult as well for the colleges to continue to build their program. So, you know, where this is headed, Bob, I wish I had that answer, because that'd be the million-dollar answer. But I don't know. We'll have to see.
Does the portal make it more difficult for teams like the Monarchs and other summer league teams?
It does. There's no doubt about that, because you touched on, you know, there's schools that don't want to send their players out during the summer. And to me, I tie that right into the portal, because they're afraid that if they send them out, they're going to get seen during the summer and they might lose them to a different school. So it does hurt on our recruiting side as far as, you know, getting players to come, but it hasn't been huge, but I see it getting more difficult in the next few years for sure.
So I'm interested in your background a little bit, at least your evolution, because you've been involved in summer baseball for quite a long time, but in college you were a golfer. So what was that evolution like for you to go from one sport to being heavily involved in another?
You know, I've always been a huge baseball fan, so that's the easy answer to it. But my boys played summer baseball out of high school, and I helped out with some of their teams. And there were so many people that helped them get to the next level. I had one son that played junior college baseball, and I appreciated the help there. And I got the ask to help back when it was the Wichita Gators, and then it turned into the Park City Rangers. And the same gentleman that had the Rangers started up the Hutch Monarchs. And being that Hutch was my hometown, I said, I'll run that one for you. You take care of Park City. And then after 1 year, my wife and I became owners and took over the Monarchs.
Well, we always look forward to this time of year, the NBC World yeah. Series happening at X Stadium. 16 teams. We've got pool play, and then we'll get into bracket play after that. The Hutch Monarchs, the defending champs. That sounds good, doesn't it, Mark?
It sounds real good, to be honest with you.
And before I let you go, I did want to ask you about Bud Detter Field over in Hutchinson, an iconic yeah. baseball facility. My son hit one off the wall there 1 year in the summer.
Awesome.
You're going to artificial turf. Tell us about that transformation.
Yeah, this is the last. We just played the last game that'll be played on the natural grass surface at Hobart Detter, and they are bringing in AstroTurf surface next year. They're going to, 100% infield, outfield, collars, everything will be AstroTurf. And, you know, I've always been a natural grass surface guy, but from the business side of it, I understand why all these schools are going to AstroTurf. I think it's the right move, even though I am a natural grass surface guy, but I think it's the right move. I've seen the schematics. It's going to be beautiful. I'm looking forward to next year playing our first season on the new turf.
Well, it'll be interesting, and I did call it Bud Detter Field. How dare I? It's been Hobart Detter for many years, which I'm giving away my age. Oh, well.
Exactly. That's all
Mark,
right.
Mark, thank you. It's been a pleasure to have you on. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate the time, and thank you guys.
Thanks.
Mark Blackham from the Hutchinson Monarchs. Good grief. Bud Detter Field.
Yeah, Bud Detter. Come on.
Well, it used to be Bud Detter Field. It's been Hobart Detter for
it's not
a
Levitt Arena anymore either.
Why are you jumping on me? I admitted my mistake.
It's not Britt Brown Arena either.
Why are you on me? Why I came clean.
I don't know. Just
I pointed it out.
Just letting you know if you're behind in any other arena
Guardians
names.
Guardians lost, didn't they?
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, that's
I'll
why.
I'll probably not watch another game this year.
That's good. I hope you don't.
I hope I don't, too.
I really hope you don't.
I hope they don't bring me back somehow. I'm done with them.
Good. We'll remember that. And Jason Duda and I'll have a
I don't care what Duda thinks.
Great talk about that
thumbs
tomorrow.
Up emoji to that.
Give him a break. He's hard at work.
Sure he is.
He's a family man. All right, when we come back, we'll have hour number two of the Bob and Jeff Show. Annette Wiles, one of the greats in the history of women's basketball in the state of Kansas. She did her damage at Fort Hays State back in the day. She's going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame a little bit later this year. We'll talk with her at 3:25. Stay with us, Bob and Jeff, KFH.